The Perek Nar Marasa, which is the Perek that the Daf Yomi is now Osik in, so focuses primarily on Psuk in the beginning of Parshas Matos. So let's just read the Psukim by way of overview. There's a set of Marmakamos here. Page number one of the handout, we'll just read the psukim and overview them, and then we'll begin to discuss some of the relevant issues of the past week's daf yomi. Vayidaber Moshe al Roshei Matos v'nei Yisrael le'emor, ze hadavar asher tzivu Hashem. Ish ki yidon ed al Hashem, o yishavah shvuo le'esor Yisrael nafsho, lo yachel dvaro, chol yatzei mipiv yaseh. So you have both elav, lo yachel, the way Chazal Darsh in the Pasuk, that a person should not make his words chulin. And then we have a mitzvah said, chol ha-yotzei mipiv yaseh. Now what's fascinating is that there's only one Pasuk that relates to a male. And all the other Pasukim relate to females at different stages of their lives. Of course, the Gemara in the beginning of Na'am Arasa, Darsh in the next set of Pasukim, starting from Pasuk Dalit. V'yishok yisi doned al Hashem, v'asra yisar b'vesaviyah b'nureh. Bishama Avia is Nidra, Esara, Asher Asra Nafsha, Bechrishla, Avia. I'm not leaning now, but I'm still Makpid, Makpid Hey. The Kamu called the Dareh, Vachalisa, Asher Asra Nafsha, Yakum. So obviously we're talking about Beves Avia, Binureha. At this stage, early stage in her life, her father hears an Eder, and Bechrishla Avia, which we'll discuss momentarily. Seemingly the simple Pshat, Bechrishla Avia, the father's quiescent. Doesn't respond. And as a result, the Kamu called the Darea, V'chadisa asher asra nafsha yakum. V'yim heini avia osa v'yom shamo. This is a fascinating term. The Torah essentially has two different terms that it utilizes. One is heini, and the other is ve'hefer. Ve'hefer is the one that we're more familiar with, that the Gemara speaks about the concept of hafaras nedarim. V'yim heini avia osa v'yom shamo. Kol nedarea v'esare asher asra nafsha lo yakum. V'ashem yislach lo ki heini avia osa. So that refers to the schus of the father to essentially, let's translate the word heini, there are different translations, but let's say either to be moche or to annul, lahafer, to protest, however you translate machlokes harishonim in the translation of that word. V'im hoyosi elish, right away that lashon hoyosi, yes, the Gemara interprets lashon havaya, which means we're talking about erisin or kedushin. This is based on the psukim and the sugyas in kedushin as well. Im hoyosi elish undorecha aleha, Om Miftos Vaseh Asher Asra Nafsha B'Shama Isha, that's her husband, B'Yom Shamo V'Hech Vishla, another important din that we'll be discussing momentarily, that it has to be B'Yom Shmua, on the day that he hears, that same day, V'Hech Vishla, similar to the term that's used vis-a-vis the father, now we're talking about the term used vis-a-vis the husband, V'Kom Nudareh V'Aseh Asher Asra Nafsha Yakumu, V'Yim B'Yom Shmua Isha Yoni Osa, V'Hefer Es Nidua Asher Leah, the Torah he uses both terms, and that's also a question discussed by Parshani HaMikra, by Chazal at great length. And then we continue. Now we're talking about the stage where she becomes an almana or a grusha. Also a very significant term that the Torah uses here. Either Ves Avia or Ves Isha, which has halachic consequences. Here there's total quiescence. However, this is a very significant pasuk. We'll discuss it momentarily as well. Apparently, there's a machlokas that the Gemara has, but seemingly, Isha Hafiram, the one has to do the act of Hafara, is the husband. Kol neder v'chol shuas yisrael li'anos nafesh, isha yikimenu v'isha yifremenu. Double lashon. Similarly, the focus on the husband, he does the act of hafara. V'machare shlo isha v'yom l'yom. V'yekim es kol nedorah eskol asor asher Allah, hekim asom ki echi v'shlo v'yom shamo. V'mafer yofer asom achare shamo v'n asor asa bono. Eilu achukim asher tzivu Hashem es Moshe v'n ish l'ishto, v'n obel bito, v'n ureh be sabiyah. Now clearly, there is one would certainly be legitimate if one were to argue that there seems to be an excess of psukim here. Many, many psukim that clearly are not necessary, lichora, because the same yisod is being said and repeatedly any number of times. And Chazal have a field day with this. They indicate that that's not the case.
Thank you.
That everything is subject to drasha. Okay, I'll just, by way of preamble, I'm just waiting for people to come until I began. So why are there so many psukim devoted to dafka women and only one pasuk at the beginning, devoted to a man making the nether? So Chazal have a famous comment. Chazal say, Noshim Rakshon Yosein, that women, because of their nature, their feminine nature, because they're Bali Regesh, so they tend to be more involved in taking the darn. I'm not here right now to discuss that statement. I'm just, by way of Hakdama, just noting the context that one pasuk for a man, all the other psukim relating to women, which is striking, also discussed by Mefarshim. Now we are going to discuss essentially what the Mishnah has at the very beginning of Naam Ravasa. We're going to be moving around, so you just follow the Maramakomas, and more or less you'll be able to see with the Gemara and the other Maramakomas that are not in the Gemara, more or less I xeroxed. There are two halachas here that are very critical. The first Mishnah of Naam Ravasa tells us very clearly, Naam Ravasa, Aviyah Ubala, Mefirim Nidareah. The father or the husband has the ability to respond to the neder of the Nara in one of two ways. And they are just mentioned in the Chumash. One is Hafara, one is Hakama. Either the neder will be annulled, or the neder will be essentially certified, legitimized. That's the privilege that is within the bailiwick of the father, within the bailiwick of the husband. And that, of course, applies from the moment that the neder is heard at Sof Hayom. The Gemara has a machlokes here. That's what I mentioned here in item number one, and that I involve him a base. It's a very famous machlokes tanoim that the Gemara discusses. Kamos man omer lirushuso. How much time does he have? Are we talking about chabdalat shows meis leis? That's one opinion that the Gemara cites over here, and that I involve him a base. Or are we talking about mirega hashmiya till actually shkias achama hakrova? That's a machlokes tanoim also, which is important to be aware of. So the moment actually that he expresses his opinion, he means either the Baal or the father, that they don't want this neder, then the neder is mufar. However, what is the nature of hakama? So hakama, if you take a look back in the psukim that we have here again on page 1, it's also found on page 2 and 3. I decided to make it a larger print as well, and it has Rashi as well. That was an afterthought. Anyway, so on page 2 and 3, or page number 1, you can see in psukim hey and psukim ches, hey and ches, we have a discussion of hakoma. And look at the way the Torah presents the din of hakoma. In Pasuk Hei, v'shama aviyah es nidra, v'esara asher asua al nafsha, v'hechrish la aviyah, the father is quiet, v'komu kol nidareh, as a result of the quiescence of the father, so the nidareh now have status, v'komu kol nidareh. Look at Pasuk Ches, there it says, v'shama isha. Again, first one refers to the father. Now we're referring to the husband. B'shama isha, b'yom shama v'hechu ishla, b'komu nidareh. Seemingly, the Torah has more or less paralleled the two situations, namely the parallel between the father. Either the father is going to be made for the nidareh of his daughter, or the husband is going to do so. So it's clear as a result of v'hechu ishla. That's the language used in Psukim Hei. The Nadarim come mealem. But the question, of course, that has to be posed and is raised already by Rishonim, what exactly is the nature of this hakoma? Is this hakoma simply a kind of passive shtika when the nether is heard? Completely, seemingly, that's how the Torah describes it. Ve'echrishlo, that the two parties are quiet, they are quiescent, they don't respond. That would seem to be, essentially, what hakoma, the way the Torah presents it in the two psukim that I just read. However, if you take a look in the language of Chazal, let's look into first on Samach Zayin Amud Aleph, the number of Gemaras I'll refer you to. On Samach Zayin Amud Aleph, there, the Lashon of the Gemara is, Gemara uses the language in the Mishnah on the top line. It says, Hefer Ha'av V'la Hefer Ha'bal. The father does the act of Afara, the husband does not do so, or Hefer Ha'bal V'la Hefer Ha'av Ein Amufra, because you need both. That's the verse Mishnah. And the Mishnah goes on to say, "V'ein tzarich lomar shekiyeh mechel mehem." So that Lashon, shekiyeh mechel mehem, is already the subject of discussion among the Rishonim. And also, seemingly, it's not just a question of a hech rishla. V'komu kolm d'ra'am. Here, the Lashon of the Mishnah is shekiyim echad mehem. And as earlier, with reference to the hafara of the Dara of Namar Basa, we said you need a shituf pu'la between the father and the baal. If one of them is lo b'nefer, ein b'kan klum. It has no value whatsoever. That's the first Mishnah. Also, this sugi here again, adaf samach zayin. But the Mishnah here, with the specific situation that we're talking about, is where one of them is matim esamu'ucha. One of them decided to certify the neder without waiting l'siyim hayom. So in reality, in the Pesukim already, you have both of these nisuchim. If you look here, and again on the Maran Mekoma sheet, Pesukim Yudalad and Tezvob. You look carefully, in Yudalad, the Torah here only has reference, seemingly I would say, in one case to a passive situation, and the other case to apparently more active. Again, the Lashon is not muchvach, I'm masking. But then that I saw, I was looking among the Pashani Amikra, but they also seem to understand it that way, that one is a more passive kind of reaction, a more passive response, and the other seems to be an active. Look in Sukkim Yudalot as well. Kol neider, v'chol shuas isar, la'anos nafesh. Of course, as you know, that the nedarim ben baal ishto, nedarim of inu nefesh, ben olu v'inah. Those are nedarim that he's given permission to go ahead and essentially annul. If I can use that term, I hope you don't mind that term. Kol neida v'choshuas isor la'anos nafesh, isho yikimenu v'isho yifirenu. Continues. V'imachresh in tezvav, v'imachresh shachrishlo yisho miyom el yom, v'hikim is kol nadareham. So, it's not 100% clear, as I said, but there seems to be two different modalities that are involved here. One is a passive kind of modality, one is a more active kind of modality. It's the language of Pesukim, that's on the Mefarshim, understand it. But, and now, what's relevant to this idea of Kirim Nedarim, that is actually a very famous sugya and Samach Tesem Adal. So now Samach Tesem Adal, the Gemara asks the following kasha, famous question, Bo'i Rabba, in the middle of the page, line number 5. Bo'i Rabba, yesh shela behekeim, or ain't shela behekeim? So here's a very fundamental question. The Gemara goes further. Intin salama yesh shela behekeim, yesh shela. What about Bahafer or ain't Shela Bahafer? We're asked the Kashi in both directions. Can you be Shoel on the Hakoma? And in Tintzoloma, we know that the Raman Paskins, the Aloch, every Tintzoloma, that's generally the Raman already points this out over here, and many of Rishonim had this Klal in the Rambam. Now, the second question is, Yesh Shela Bahafer, is there Shela when it comes to the issue of Hafara? And as the first part of the question seems to be pretty self evident, namely, the father or the husband that they certified in the Dharm of, let's say, the father's daughter or the husband's wife, betoch yom hashmiya. So now they can go to a chacham and they can be okay that hakama in order that now the rest of the day still remains and now they can do hafara. That's exactly how the Gemara seems to be presenting it. Now, it's essentially what the Gemara is saying is that the rush here, if you take a look at the rush, on the second wide line of the rush, yesh shela behekeim. So the rush right away presents the question and presents it in a very beautiful way. Im amala kayim lechi. Correct? He's mekayim nedem. Vinisha lechacham ala kamaso. So now the question is, mahan yale hafara olo. So now the hafara subsequent to this, sheila and hakama, is that hafara considered to be appropriate? And what's the issue? Mi amrinan hodich sidbe lo yachod varo, vidashin lava achirin mochlun lo, avol kiyim aneder. If he's mekayim neder shod ishto lo, so then obviously once he's mekayim neder, so it's no longer possible. Odilma kiyum neder ki neder damya. What does the Rosh suggest? When once you are certified in the dharma of your wife, ki neder damya. Now that hakoma is sort of giving an ishur for the neder. You basically are giving credibility to the neder. The neder now takes on efficacy. So if that's the case, so therefore, since ki neder damya, then obviously that would create a certain kind of status. So maybe the other side is to say that perhaps we're talking about something else entirely. Now, the question is that if the hakoma works the way a neder works, so then you can matir it the way any neder could undergo hatara. However, if you assume that something else is happening over here, then it will not be possible. He doesn't explain exactly what the two, shall we say, options are. What are these two options? One, he does, he says, k'neder damya, and therefore, every neder is subject to hatara. So I want to try to understand what's the second possibility. In order to do that, I just want to go through a few more sugars, if you don't mind. And the final from the base. So the Gemara also has a very famous kashya, which is very, I would say, even anyone who learns this Gemara is probably thunderstruck by this Gemara. And I know from a base. I don't know if you, you don't have the Nadarim with you. I'm sorry. You know, by heart. Okay, good. Baruch Hashem. We have plenty of Nadarims over there. You can't trust me. You have to see everything inside. Aesias Machimos. So, now the question is, they're in order, more or less. Yeah, there's Rabbi Feinberg. There's... So the question is, on the final from the base that the Gemara raises, which is a fundamental question. What's the din, a woman who takes a neder, in the middle of the page, Yibayilu, Gershin Kishtika Damya O Kakama Damya. This is similar to what the Rush, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to, but it's just helpful, that's all. Yibayilu, Gershin Kishtika Damya O Kakama Damya. The Gemara asks, Gershin. The Gemara then explains, what's the case? The mind of Gemara. Gagon Shinodra, a woman takes in neder, Vishama Baila, and her husband, Bo Bayom, hears that she took a neder, and then Vigersha, and then he divorces her. She takes a neder, and Bo Bayom, the husband hears, divorces her, Viahadre Biyome. And then the Gemara says that he decides to take her back. If you say that the Gershin is Kishtika Damya, so then, Matzi Meifela. V'yamala Kakoma Dami, lo Matzi Meifela. That seems to be the basis of the position of the Rush that we just discussed a moment ago, that the Rush, when the Gemara and HaSamach Tes raised the question, Yesh Sheila Behekeim, or Ain't Sheila Behekeim, and the Rush used the Lashon that perhaps the Kiyam Nidre Ishto is Kineder Damya. So that's based on this Gemara. Now the Gemara here is posing the following question. A woman takes a neder, bo bayom bala shama, and that this very same day he's megarisha. So do we assume that that gershin is a kind of hakoma, an active hakoma of the neder, the active gershin itself? Or no, it's like a, I would say a kind of, what's it say? I just have to finish the point, a kind of passive shtika. It's a kind of quiescence, namely, lo lahokim v'lo lahofer. That he's not doing either one, neither act. Neither is he doing the act of Hakama, nor is he doing the act of Hafara. Now, if you want to ask, which is a valid question that all the Rishonim are bothered by, on what basis do we assume that the Gershin is considered to be an act of Hakamas Neder? The Baal did not react to the Neder Bechlal. The Torah speaks about, the Torah tells us how a husband should react to a Neder. Namely, Ve'ech Rishlo, Ve'ein Yoso, Ve'hefer. The Torah tells you what the possibilities are. Here we're talking about something that, l'chora, has no connection to anything. What do you do? He decided to divorce her. So on what basis does the Gemara come up with such a svara? Kishtika damyo, kakama damyo. What's the nature of that statement? So again, it would seem that, again, this idea, and you're looking at Bishonim over here, both in the Ran and the Rush. I assume you also, you probably have a separate Shin Kobetzes, Rabbi Baum, on all my sons in the dorm, I assume. I only have what I see in front of me and also in the back. We have the Mukhe Yosef and the Rif and the Ramban and the Ritva. Of course, here the Taisa disappeared. And now Marasa, it's another discussion for another time. But he appears in a separate form. Anyway, the question is, what is the nature of this question of the Gemara? So basically, Balabatish, the Gemara seems to be saying that by virtue of the act of Gershon, by virtue of the fact that he's divorcing her, so now she's no longer connected to him. And essentially, he doesn't want any linkage with her. So if that's the case, so apparently it has relevance to Nedarim as well. That seems to be, I'm speaking about Labatish. That seems to have relevance, how the Gemara seems to be interpreting this kind of a question. The fact that she's no longer attached to him, no longer associated with him, so it has relevance. It means basically now whatever Nedarim you take is your affair, is your bailiwick, that's your terrain. And therefore, if that's the case, essentially what is happening over here, that's how the Gemara presents the question, Yibayilu Gershin Kishtiga Damya or Kakoma Damya. Means Gemara is suggesting that apparently Hakoma, as we said, which normally is a response to the neder itself is Kayam, there's a need for somehow the husband and or the Baal to respond in some way, either by being maskim. So this intuitive kind of askoma is apparently what's embedded over here. So basically what I'm just suggesting is that when you look at the act of Hakama, there are two ways of looking at it. Either Hakama is a kind of, let's call it, an emotional kind of reaction, a spontaneous kind of reaction on the part of either the husband or the father, or it's a legal mechanism. It's actually a legal tool that's being utilized over here, and the same relating to Hafara. The only problem is, in the second chelik of the Gemara asks, that earlier sugya, the Gemara asks the Kasha, whether it's possible, lehishoyel lechocham al Hafara. First, the Gemara's question is, can I be shoyel on the Hakama? Then the Gemara continues further, can I be shoyel on the Hafara? Can I be okay the Hafara? So the second possibility assumes, again, that once you accept the pashul, you can be shoyel on the Hakama. That's what the Gemara understands. And now the question is, can I be shoyel on the Hafara? So what's going on over here? So the Ran, here again, the Rishonim have a field day on this Gemara. The Ran understood, essentially, that Hafara and Hakama are the same procedure. But the procedures that move in different directions. Obviously, one is Lachim is on there, Lachim is on there, and the other is the Hafir is on there. But as far as procedurally, or in terms of the mechanics of each of these activities, they are essentially very similar. So if you can be Matir, a neder, and that's what Hakama does, because they're talking about something legal, a legal mechanism. So now the question is, and then, can I be shoal on the Hakama? Can I be okay the Hakama? And the same question, can I be okay the Hafara? Again, they're both legal procedures. They both have status, legal status. Al pi alocha. So therefore, just like I can be shoal on one, I should be able to be shoal on the other. Or no, perhaps, one might argue the way, if you take a look here, in Daf Samach Tes Amud Aleph, the Ran makes a suggestion. I spend, Rabbi Baum, most of my days reading the Ran. So on Samach Tes Amud Aleph, look into the Amaschil Boi, on the bottom of the page. And where's the kasha over here? Boi Rabba, Kayin Luchi, Mufu Luchi. Velotechel HaKoma, and Kein Chola HaFora. Where he asked the question, this is an impossible situation. Kayim Luchi, correct? If you're Mekayim the Neder, Umufu Luchi. And right after that, you're made for the nether. Velotechel HaKoma, and Kein Chola HaFora. Where's the kasha Mao? The Gemara attempts to bring a raya, but on the bottom of this, Daf and Samach Tes Amud Aleph, look at the Ran. The Ran to be a Maschil Boy. The Ran says, Boy Rabba, Kain Luchi and Wufu Luchi, will take a lakamel and Kenchal Afar Amau, Chazin the Bach Baya. What do we see from here? We made the Pashtina Bala Kamoi, Zal, Mili the Lonahiri. There are things here that are not obviously so clear. Mishimachim the Fashnaba. My dear Chazal, he's going to try to explain it. The Rabbah Pshit laid the Hakoma lo chayla. The Manushach, I hafara chayla, Hakoma lo chayla. He made one dependent upon the other, correct? Lo techel Hakoma, Elim Kane, chala hafara. Says the Ran, if that's the case, if according to Rabbah, certainly the Hakoma is not chal. Manushach, if the hafara is chal, then the Hakoma is not chal. He, the Kama, Mesapkal, and Kain, Lachi, Shoah. Umufu Lachi, Shoah, Yichel, Tavayu. The Gemara Dafayin, that is already where, not the same as this situation. Here, one is dependent, one hinges upon the other. In the Sugya Dafayin, Kayim l'chishoa, Mufa l'chishoa. That the Gemara has a shayla, Yichali Tzavayin. Olo, shayni yosam, shenosan kitzva, la'akoma v'afar. 1 hour for this, 1 hour for that. Avo, says the Ran, hocha shenosan kitzva, pshita, says the Ran. Di afara chayla, hakoma lo chayla, kerekasimna.
Oh, so
now the Ran says it could be that Afar is a different story. In other words, there's a makom lechalek bin hakam and Afar. Till now, we said no. Procedurally, they're both legal mechanisms. One works in a positive direction; the other works in a negative direction. Now the Ran suggests no, that's not the case. The Ran says he goes on in Barichus. He says over here. That he said first. He mentions that first. Okay, it goes on, and basically what the Ran goes on here in the course of this rather lengthy ram, he makes the following suggestion. He said that it could be that by hafara, lo shayach she'ela, that there's no concept of she'ela when it comes to hafara. Why? Says the ran by himshech, the following. The bishlama hakein kein nidrahu. If we're talking about hakama, that's the status of a neder. Aval hafara lo, but hafara is not the same as hakama. Hakama has the status of a neder. Mashenkin hafara, that is of a totally different nature. And yes, so what's the Gemara's kasha? Why is the Gemara asking this question? It says, Durana filochim iboilon. Why is the Gemara asking akasha? Why? The hafara of akoma is kish la'adodi. Because there's a hekesh between hafara and akoma. That's the only base for the question. But as far as the nature of hafara and akoma, we're talking about two totally different items. And essentially, you cannot go ahead and compare one to the other. I, by the way, thought, even though you're now going to probably think I've totally lost it. There is a famous Abchaim in the Chibur. I never understood this Abchaim. I'll be Schatoya and Maskir. Truth is, half the Sefer I don't understand. But anyway, so Abchaim has in the Chibur, Abchaim Alevi, in the Rambam, Yibim Chalitza. He has a very famous distinction between what he calls Das and Kavona. I don't know if you remember seeing that. Rav Soloveitchik attempted to explain it umpteen times. That's a sign that it's clearly not so simple. He has this idea that das is a active kind of chashiva. It's a more positive kind of thinking. And kavana is a spontaneous type of action, which is more reflexive or more passive. So perhaps one could distinguish here between hakam and hafara. Again, I'm just by way of analogy, because around here makes the suggestion that what's the Gemara's analogy? The Gemara's estakasha yesh shela b'hakim. Let me just finish my train of thought, Rabbi Asger. Yesh shela b'hakim, and the same shala yesh shela b'afara. And that's the question. What is the nature of this contingency? We're making one contingent upon the other. So either we assume that, as I said, both are legal, each one is a legal apparatus, each one has status, and they just work in different directions. Oh no, it could very well be. That's what the Ram's suggesting over here. That hakoma, he calls it kein nidra. Mashen ken hafara is something different. So what's the Gemara's analogy? Because hukshu adodi. Because at the end of the day, the Torah has compared the hakoma to hafara. But they really, in terms of their operational mechanism, they are clearly markedly different one for the other. What's interesting is that Rashi, or the pshat that's miyuchas to Rashi, the mefarish, has another explanation over here. He says, certainly, you cannot be okay the hafara. So that's pasha to him. There's no way you can be okay the hafara. The hakama, for sure you can be okay. Hafara not. So what's the issue? So he learns, here's the case. The case is, the baal hears the neder. Bimkom lehofer also, instead of being made for the neder, he goes to a chacham, latiro. So the question is, can the hatara of the chacham serve as a substitute for hafara or not? That's how the Rashi or the Mefarish learns the kasha of the Gemara. And here also, there's another pshat, which is Miyuchas to Rashi. I'm looking at different Mefarshim. Even though he denied the possibility of being Okada Hafara, the question is, can you go ahead and somehow be Mavato the Neder? Again, I'm saying that even what I said a few moments ago regarding the Hekesh between Hafara and Akama, you know what that Hekesh reminds me of? The Yatzah V'Haisa. Reminds me of the Yatzah V'Haisa Hekesh that the Chazal had between Kedushin and Gershin. And the Gemara actually wants to, we have a general principle in Hekesh to Mechza, and therefore the Gemara has many, many in Kedushin that we know, many situations the Gemara wants to apply. The Gemara even asks, let's apply the Kinyonim that are relevant to Kedushin, let's apply them to Gershin. Based on what? Yatzah V'Haisa, based on this Hekesh. So here also, because of the Hekesh between Hakama and Hafara, even though, as I said, legally, the mechanisms are completely different one from the other, somehow the Gemara assumes that just like you can go ahead and be Shoel on the Hekem, so the Gemara says, okay, let's be Shoel on the Hafara as well. That's basically what I'm simply trying to understand is the nature of the Gemara's Kasha, and also, are we going to assume automatically that Hakama and Hafara are somehow in the same kind of league. And the reason why I say this is because, again, what I mentioned here, the Ran a moment ago, if you remember the Lashon Aran, look at Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph. I'm just shouting to you a few runs because I was able to look at it probably a bit more carefully than you were. But Ayin Gimel, and Ayin Gimel Amud Beis. Ayin Gimel Amud Beis, the Amaskal B'Ikah. There's a Ramban on the bottom of the page. Approximately 8 lines on the bottom. Vika di alfi mihocha. You see that, Ran? Vika di alfi mihocha. The question that is relevant is the issue, I don't know which daf this is in terms of yesterday, today, the day before, and the Musab. But whichever daf it is, and daf ayin gimel beis. So the Gemara here had a discussion regarding bogeres. This is the also bogeres almana in terms of the whether mezonos, what role mezonos plays as far as these halachas are concerned. So the Gemara comes to the maskana that the Gemara wants to be mechala between one being arrived from truma. The Gemara says no, truma and the dharma are two totally different areas, and never the twain shall meet. You can't really compare the two. So the Ran here has a comment. V'ikah the alfi hocha. I'm reading 8 lines to the bottom of the Ran, and I'm giving them a base. The misha nado al das chaveru. Harei ze yochol lahatir nidro shalal pichocha. The chechid amin and hocha. The misha bochim matzir bal v'chudi lahafer. Misha nado al daite. That's the Gemara has a kalal. Kalal no deres. Al das baili no deres. So therefore says the Ran. B'mefarish nami al das chaveru. Let's say I articulate a neder, but it's al das chaveru. The way I would do it, al das my husband. I do it al das chaveru. Motzi mefer. The lagora mefarish the chaveru mistam de bal. Dainu tam hocha v'hasa mishum the neder al tanai dami. V'zu etzli shig gaseru. The Ran said this is wrong. The avagap the arm of the al das by the no deres. Now look at this next line, and I want you to really consider it carefully. There's a distinction. Afilochi tzarech bal sheyofela ba'okso loshen shekotzvela Torah ugzeras akosavu mushimach inka alashaynais shavim bo. And as essentially, this is a very significant halacha. I mean, the nusach of hafara has to be meduyak lahafli, has to be using the language that the Torah actually has articulated. And secondly, he says ugzeras akosav. And then Kol Shein is shoving bow, and of course, right away, this should remind us of the Gemara on Daf Ayin Zayin Mabez. So the Gemara on Daf Ayin Zayin Mabez is also a famous Gemara. There, the Gemara says, "Look in the Gemara on Ayin Zayin Mabez for a moment," and this is well known klal. Here, the Gemara says, "Chacham she'omar b'loshin bal, u'bal she'omar b'loshin chacham lo'yomar klum." 3 lines in the bottom. Omer Yechanan, famous halacha. Each one apparently has their own methodology, their own modality. And that modality is reflected in the language that's used by the Chacham, used by the Baal. Rabbi Yechon says, Chacham Shama B'Lashin Baal. Namely, he uses a Lashin of Mufar. O Baal Shama B'Lashin Chacham, HaTorah. Okay, we say that. So the Gemara says, Lo Maklum. Gemara brings a Raya, the Tanya Zeh Adobar, HaChacham Matir, Vein Baal Matir. And the Gemara goes to a whole song and dance regarding this matter going on to Daf Ayin Ches and Aleph. So you see that the need for a Lashon and the, shall we say, the the Akshonus that Chazal had regarding a specific Lashon is specifically relevant to the Nusach of Hafara. When it comes to the language of Hafara, you have to use a very precise Lashon. And that comes from the fact that the Torah is Mechadish, a din of Hafara, that clearly does not necessarily at all reflect or connect to the Hataras Nedarim of Chacham. So, in fact, now, this creates a problematica for the Gemara. Namely, and I'll just show you how this problematica comes to the fore in other areas as well. Look on Ayin Zayin Mabez as well. And this same Daf, Ayin Zayin Mabez, the Gemara has a discussion that relating to Shabbos. The Gemara says, look in the first wide line of the Gemara, Daf Ayin Zayin Mabez, the Gemara says that, Lo Yomar Adam, Liishto b'Shabbos mufalachi batalachi kederach she'omer la'bechol. Wow, what a statement! Somehow your nusach on Shabbos has to be different than the nusach that you're going to use in the course of the week. Eloi mela, what do you have to say? Tli va'achli, tli ushni va'neder batam ela. Am Rabbi Yechonah mitzarech she'vatal b'libo. So this is unbelievable. And the question is, what exactly is the nature of this? So the Ran actually. Okay, good, excellent. That's what the Chakira that I was going to say. What's the halacha here? And this needs also a bit more elaboration, something in the nature of Shabbos. I mean, again, this is a terrible analogy. I shouldn't even invoke it, but since you right away started up, so for example, there's a din that On Shabbos, there's an Isra Bakosha. This is Machlokes the Rabbi Yerushalmi, Kayadua, that he has an article, Moreinu Rabbeinu, on this topic. I once said Shir about this in the 60s, Rabban Lechistin Tatzal. But I heard Rabban Soloveitchik before him, and then I heard the Rav after him. So they're all focused on this issue of Bakosha on Shabbos, which is a major issue. Yerushalmi said there's an Isra Bakosha on Shabbos. That's why Chazal, the Gemara in Brachis, doesn't have an Isur, because the Gemara says, we pass an halacha like this. We pass in the Gemara Brachas. The Gemara says that it's happened to me more than once. Probably never happened to you, but it happened to me more than once. Friday night, I'm nishtahe, nishtahe. And I start saying, atzachen ladam das. So in the after the third Brachas, but actually the halacha is you have to finish the Bracha. That's a Babli, clear Babli. So Yerushalmi said, no, chas v'shalom, you stop in the spot, stop in your tracks, and there's an Isur of Akosha on Shabbos. Also, and Yerushalmi clearly holds this an Isur. The Babli holds it's not Osir. Just the Gemara said, Mishamayni Shabbos, because you don't want to have a Tirdis, all the Bakoshas create all kinds of Tirdis. So there's a chiluk between Shabbos and there. This halacha is relevant to this as well, because there's the sugya in Masechet Shabbos that the Rishonim here, actually, if you look at the Ran, I don't know if you want to read this Ran. If I read this Ran, it'll be the end of my shir. But part of the Ran I don't mind reading. Look at the Ran. He explains this halacha on the fourth wide line. Tanya. Loyom Adam, the man of Ayin Zayin on the base. Loyom Adam leishto b'Shabbes mufalachi batalachi kider shomer la bechol. Had the asvin in the meim ahachi. La bishum gzera the het and the darim the chachamu. The came in the amal tli achli the tzarach Shabbes who somehow vafil the b'sheil shori. The time of the milsa came in the eshul shnuyim mishanina. Okay, this needs attention. What does he mean? That you have to somehow make some sort of a shinui. You have to really effect some sort of a substantive change, and then he goes further. Rabbi Yechaz Alocha, Tzorach Shibadana Beliba, Yavagav Di Amala Tli Viichli, Tzorach Shibam Beliba, Shianeda Batel. However, the Gemara says that, Gemara goes on, the Brisa, four lines from the bottom here on this daf. Ayin Zayinam Abeis, Tanya Beshami Yomi, Beshabbos Bevata Beliba, Bechol Mosi Beswasa. You hear that? On Shabbos, you can't even be Mosi Beswasa, it has to be Beliba. And here the Ran goes on to explain why is there a distinction between Shabbos and Chol regarding this. This is a lengthy Ran over here. I'm not interested in discussing it right now. I'm just saying, according to the Ran, that going back to what we said a moment ago, that Hafara requires a Nusach Kavua. Hafara, we are very literally obstinate regarding the Nusach that one used for Hafara. So now the question is, this Nusach that's mentioned here in the Brisa, how does that help? So the Ran and the Balei Tesis here and the Rishonim explain, somehow mashlim that which I'm missing. It's not clear exactly how that happens, how that Hashlama, what exactly it accomplishes. But again, this also is a source of a Rambam, which you also have here in the Maror Mekomos. So now look at the Rambam in the Maror Mekomos, and you'll see that the Rambam here in Perek Yud Gimel, Halacha Zayin, that's found on page number 4. The Rambam says in Perek Yigim Halacha Zayin, he writes the following. Hamefa nidre bito, o ishto, tzorech lahotzi bisfasa. Vim hefa belibo, eno mufar. Aval hamavatel, eno tzorech lahotzi bisfasa. El mavatel belibo belvad. V'koifa so lasos bein osasa, Ben loy osisa batel haneda. The Rambam's mechadish here a tremendous chiddush that the Rambam calls it bittel. We know bittel. We're familiar with bittel on Chametz of Pesach. That we are familiar with. What is the nature of this halacha that the Rambam's mechadish over here? I mean, the Rambam somehow presents a new approach, which is not an approach of a verbal kind of hafara. That he calls bittel. Bittel works differently. The Baal can compel his wife to behave and essentially behave in a way which is contrary to the nether that she took. Through this act of kavanas halev, the nether becomes annulled. So apparently the Rambam has a different understanding. And the Mefarshim, the Rabbi, of course, has what to say about this Rambam, but I see this Ravid is almost incomprehensible. So I'm not even going to trouble you to read the Ravid, but this Ravid is basically completely rejects the Rambam categorically. The Rambam, we don't really know what he's referring to. What exactly is the nature of this act of Bittel? But what I'm interested really is I wanted to get to this point, and that is again when the Torah speaks about v'shama isha b'yom shama v'hech v'shlo v'kamu nidareh. So now the question is that statement in Chumash v'shama isha b'yom shama v'hech v'shlo v'kamu nidareh. When the Torah said the Baal hears a neder, is there a need for an act of shmia? Must the Baal, pasuk says that v'shama isha, he has to hear the neder. Or no, the Torah is basically just describing more or less a reality, namely that there's interaction between husband and wife, and all types of interaction, all types of conversation, all types of dialogue. And in the course of a woman taking a neder, the husband happens to hear the neder. Dach klal, people who are living together, so they hear what each other, what the other one says. So the Baal happens to hear the nedarim of his wife before he's made for them. So the Gemara asks this kasha, and daf ayin beis mem beis. Now take a look at that. This Naamarasa we have to know inside out, otherwise we can't deal with it. I mentioned to Rabbi Baum that years ago I said a Shia Naamarasa. That's why I'm somewhat familiar with the parak. 1 year for this parak. An entire year for how many blot? Not too many blot, what? 15, 20 blot? Entire year. I learned every run with a fine tooth comb. Now, you might argue, the Daf Yomi does it in what? In 15 days. Wow, what a, the Bali Mefes. The people who are clearly necromancers and magicians and sorcerers, I don't know what else they are. I don't have that capacity to do it. Anyway, in Daf Ayin Beis and Beis, they look in the Gemara, Bo Yoran Bachama, the beginning of the Gemara. Bo Yoran Bachama, Baal Mao She Yofer Below Shmia. Can a Baal do Afara without hearing the Neder? What's the issue? B'shama Yisho, Dafka, Torah said B'shama. By the way, just there, Chaga, there's a famous Sefer, I forgot the name of the Sefer now, by the Kozel Gava, he's the author of the Sefer. But you told me once we spoke about this. What? Eretz Tzvi. This Sefer is a fantastic Sefer. You won't believe from whom I heard the Sefer first. Well, you may will believe it. I heard it from Hagoyen Nisim Alpes Hatzal. Why do you quote the Sefer? He discusses what's called Shmia. For example, in my house, I have grandchildren often that come, and after Kiddush, I ask, Mi shamata Kiddush? They don't speak English. Who heard the Kiddush? So I said, Saba, kulanu shamanu ta Kiddush. Amata Kiddush. And he shoel, kama shamatem? How much did you hear the Kiddush? So it turns out, after I do a bit of a survey, a seker, nobody heard the entire Kiddush. I say Kiddush very quickly, because I figured that maybe is an approach where hopefully they'll get the main parts of Kiddush. What are the main parts of Kiddush that you have to hear? Shabbos, Divrei Shevach, V'Kiddush. Zochreyu. Gemara says, Zoch Hashem, Shabbos, Dekatcho, Divrei Shevach, V'Kiddush. What else? Yitzias Mitzrayim. That's Gemara, Navi Psochim. What else? I would say that's sufficient. If you hear those two things, you're Yetzir Kiddush. So I asked them, Shamatem etze, et haktayim ailu? Gam ken alze, mistapkim. Even at that, they're not sure whether they heard those two things or not. So, Shmia, what does Shmia mean? People are spaced out all the time. I teach young Talmidim. Maybe 5 to 10 seconds, you can get their attention. Is that called Shmia? They hear Megillah. What's called Shmia? So that's what the Kozel Gava, the Eretz Tzvi, Barichus, goes to all Kol HaTorah Kula. So I heard this over 50 years ago from my Rebbe, Rav Nisim Alpes Hatzal. He read the tshuva inside. The one who's very fond of this tshuva is Hagoyen of Herschel Shechter Shlita, who happens to be in Eretz Yisrael now. He is very into this tshuva. And I also heard the tshuva from Abaron Lichtenstein Hatzal. Also, all three of them mentioned this Eretz Hatzvi. So the reason why I'm asking, look at the Gemara's Kasha. Eretz Tzvi, sorry. V'shama Isha. That's why you have to say without the hay. V'shama Isha. Is that Dafka? Olav Dafka. So what's the issue? So look what the Gemara here goes through. The Gemara has this Mishnah on Daf Ayin Beis and Beis, but the Gemara actually tries to prove this issue. And the Gemara, guess what? Initially, the Gemara quotes the previous Mishnah, where a father says to his daughter, before she goes to the chuppah, Kol ha'nadarim she'nadarim b'toch beisi, harei mufarim. That's what Gemara wants to bring a ride from there. All the nadarim that you took before you, that you took when you were under my aegis, when you were in my house, harei mufarim. So he never heard the nedarim. Matter of fact, there's a subject whether he even knows that his daughter took the nedarim, at least according to the Ran. So the Ran over here explains this Gemara, Dafayim Beis and Beis. The Ran explains that the Mishnah obviously permits such a hafara. The Mishnah clearly gives its imprimatur to such a hafara. The Gemara is doiche. The Gemara says, no, that's not the case. The Gemara says here, in the middle of the page, that the case is talking about where the father said that he will be mefer her in the nedarim when he hears them. Even though right now he has not yet heard the nedarim, but when he ultimately hears them, he'll be mefer the nedarim. So the Gemara, what does the Gemara mean? Does the Gemara mean when he hears the neder, once again he'll do another hafara over and above that which he did till now? Or does the Gemara mean that he'll be somech on the previous hafara, the one that is right now relevant? Correct, exactly. This is Machlokes HaRishonim. So look here in the Marmi Kemis. So I actually Xerox the Rashba. The Rashba here comments on this. The Rashba is on page, the Rashba of course on the Dorim. On page number 5. On the Ramaschil, the Fi Shoma, the Yesh Mefarshim. No? Let's say this is the right Rashba. Yes, the Yesh Mefarshim, the Yud Mem. See that? The beginning of the, on top of the page of page 5. Yesh Mefarshim L'chi Shoma Chozer U'mefer. Which is once again going to do a hafara when he actually hears the neder. A second time. The Chal Atzmo L'Oma L'Hochi Kodim She'yishma. El Kidei She'yikonis Yimah B'dvarim. What does that mean? What he said now is only to engage her in some sort of conversation. That's his interest. Likonis Yimah B'dvarim, says the Rashba. And he writes a bit further. V'yifashvesh Shema Mitoch Kach Tagid Lo Mashin Dabra. He's trying to get her to open up. That she should articulate whatever in the Dorim she has in her head, somehow he'll get her to express and articulate and verbalize these in the Dorim. Abu Liolam, Ein Hafara Kedim Shmiya. How could you possibly be made for a neder before you hear the neder? It's almost illogical, almost incomprehensible. What are you being made for? What's the Hafara being Chalon? What's it relating to? And if you look in the Pirush HaMiyuchas of Rashi, Rashi over here, Dafayim Beis on the base. Again, I'm only saying Rashi because it says Rashi on top, but it's not Rashi. So here he writes, L'chishoma hu demefer, d'ho demefer lehu, lo mishum dahash demefer b'lo shmiya, ele l'chishoma le l'neder l'achar kach, levi mufar b'ho, afara, she'efer, kol zman, shibishuso. So Rashi is chodek on the Rashba. And the Ran, actually, over here, it's a rather significant Ran. The Ran also learns, similar to the Pshat of the Yesh Mefarshim and the Rashba, and he does it because of technical reasons. If you read the Ran at the bottom, he has technical reasons why he says what he says, but he's not masking Mitzad Adin. Because the Pashas of the Sugya is how in heaven's name, the whole Gemara, Dafayin Gimel, discusses this question, how you have Hafara without Shmiya. It's almost, it's totally illogical. And what is it chal? What's the afara chal on? The afara is chal on a neder that was taken, that was verbalized, and here there's no shmiya. Now the sugi itself, however, and daf ayin hey. So if you look further in the Gemara daf ayin hey went off. The Gemara actually comes to the maskana that shmiya can somehow work l'mafreya. That's the Gemara's maskana. It's possible for shmiya to work l'mafreya, and it works almost automatically. And the what was that? That's right, correct, exactly. I mean, if you look at the Lashon HaMishnah, and I find him and Aleph, I don't know if you have in front of you, Rabbi Shua, but the Mishnah there writes, it says the following, Homer le'ishto, kol ha'nadorim she'taduri mikan, asher ovim mimakom ploni. That's how the Mishnah begins. Whatever the dorm you take, till I come from back from a certain place. I'm coming to the Mefer partner, 1 second. First he wants to kayim them, harein kayim lo makum. But if he says harein muforim, all the nedarim that you are going to take till I come back from place X where I'm traveling to. So machlokes tanoim. Rabbi Elazar omer mufar, chacham omer eino mufar. Correct, exactly. And the Gemara then goes on, and the Gemara actually discusses this whole question. But essentially, Rabbi Elazar holds that hafara will be effective. And mashma, from the Gemara, efsha the hafer, bibli lishma.
Maybe it's telling it. Are you canceling it or uprooting it? If you're rooting it, then maybe...
It could be. But the Gemara actually says that, what we're talking about, the Gemara afterwards. The Gemara says we're talking about where he says, lichsheeshma, you mufarin. That's what Gemara's maskana over here is. When I hear about the neder, then it will be mufar. That's what you're suggesting. But the problem is, so was he doing hafar before then? If a mele is not going to help, it's not effective, it's worthless, that hafar does beforehand. Well, what's the nature of that hafar? Okay, so it has to, again, the assumption is that yes, the answer is again. That's the question. That's a good, good. Good. I got you. Gagdi, so might be a chiluk. Yesh makom v'chalik between the two. Enoch hanami. We share him tumult on that. Because the psukim only speak about v'shama isha v'yom shama v'echrishla. V'kamu l'darer. V'asarer asher. Because that's the psukim again. Look in those, in the psukim, if you look regarding v'imheini v'yom shama, it also seems to say v'yom shama. Also, the language Yom Shama seems to be used. But they told me on the question that you raised, is it the same as Hakoma? It's not the same. The Pashas, I would say, it is the same. But the question I'm asking really is really totally on the Rishonim over here. The Esma Farshim says, can you be Mefer and Neder without hearing it? Or maybe you have to hear it before the Afara. That would seem to be the more logical conclusion that I want you to come to. But secondly, if you look over here in the Ran, and the Tesis, and even the Pshat and the Mefarish and Rashi. So the question is there a need for Shmia as a Tanai for Hafara, or maybe there's no need whatsoever? What's the issue? Again, the question is, what's the nature of this Shmia? Now, besides what I said earlier, now I'm simply asking regarding the nature of the Shmia, if the Shmia is taking place. And now the question is that an integral part of the Tahalich of Hafara? Means in order to have Hafara, there has to be Shmia. It's a Chelek of the Maisa Hafara. Oh no, maybe it's only, let's call it, a kind of Tanai that the Hafara should be Chal. But it's not integral to the act of Hafara. Why am I saying this? So I have in my head, I taught Kedushin last year, so I have in my head a Gemara Kedushin. Now the question is whether this is analogous or not. It's on Memdala Mebeis on page number 6. Well, the famous Sugi in the second parak, Hishma Kaddish. What the Gemara discusses, Ktana Sheniskacha Shalala Dasavia. A Ktana, what's the din? A Ktana can only be married by her father. Esbiti Nasati Laish Hazeh. Correct? Otherwise, she has no marital status whatsoever. Only when she becomes a Nara, a Bogeres, then of course she has her own Das. As a Ktana, she has no Das, and therefore her father can marry her off. The din is that if she married off by her mother and her brothers, then there could be Miyun. Of course, she could turn the whole thing down and completely undo it and negate the entire thing. So here the Gemara is a machlokes, famous machlokes, Ktana Sheniskacha Shalala Dasavia, Omer Shmuel, Tzvicha Get, and Tzvicha Miyun. Why Tzvicha Get? Shema Nisratza Ha B'Kedushin. Even though she did it on her own, so maybe the Gemara says, maybe the father was masking. Maybe there somehow there was Ritzia Av, and once there's Ritzia Av, of course, he can affect such a Kedushin. And then the Gemara says, Ula Ma Filu Miyun and Tzvicha. So what are we talking about? A Ktana, who became Kudeshes to a person, the father is not involved. So it's clear, the Kedushim of a Ktana without her father is worthless. So what's the Machlokes? Shmuel is Choshesh, maybe the father will be Maskim, and then the Kedushim will be Chal, the Mafreya. Then, retroactively, the Kedushim is going to be Chal. Ula is not Choshesh. Even if the father expresses his Askama, so Rashi says over here, the Mask Alfilu Miyun, second wide line in Rashi, Shein Maisek Tanak Klum B'Chayavia. Whatever she does has absolutely no value, no halachi value whatsoever in the life of our father. So therefore, Ula contends that there's no point. So what's the machlokes between Shmuel and Ula? So I thought maybe the machlokes here, this is what I said in the Sugin Kedushin last year, I thought that maybe the machlokes is totally on this issue. Namely, when we speak about the Haskama of the father to the Kedushin of his daughter. Is that a passive kind of haskama to an action that already occurred? This action occurred. She went ahead, decided to get Kedushin, Shalala Dasavia, and now, later on, when he becomes aware of it, so he passively is maskim to that Kedushin. And without the haskama, the Kedushin cannot possibly get off the ground, because the father is the one who controls the Kedushin. He's the Bailam, and that Kedushin is Biti Nasati Lishazim. So that's apparently what was the position, the Gemara says here, of Shmuel. And that's what Rashi explains, Shemen Nisratza Abigdushin. But what does Ula say? No, you need the Das of as a part of the Maisik Dushin. There's no Maisei Kedushin without Dasa'ah. There can't be. That's the pasuk. It's Biti Nasati Lishazeh. His Das has to be Malabe, the Maisei Kedushin. And therefore, where there's no Dasa'ah, as far as the Kedushin is concerned, then it's just a game that somehow is being played over him. It's Chak Yeladim. It's not anything of a serious nature. And therefore, this is a fundamental machlokes between Shmuel and Ula. So now I want to take this and extrapolate from here to our issue, namely in Masechet Nedarim, Perek Narah Marasa. One possibility is that this Nara, when she takes a neder, so she goes ahead on her own and takes a neder. She has her own independent kind of indigenous kind of status. But the Torah gave the father, or gave the Baal, the ability to be Mayfair because of the fact that she's still connected to them. Narah Marasa, via Baal, via the Torah. She's still within the bailiwick of her father, and she's also within the bailiwick of her soon-to-be husband, and namely, she's an Arusa. So therefore, if that's the case, that that's how the Torah gave them the ability to make an Adorin. Now, so again, as I said, we have a Neder, which apparently took effect, but again, the only time the Neder is going to really take on a certain kind of significance is the father or the husband. Shomres and Neder, they decided to weigh the Neder, whether and the Neder should be or should not be, and then they react to it. So I'm saying the Shmia is a chelik of the Maisa Afar. I'm trying to connect the two. I don't know if they're connected. Perhaps Yesh Makom Mechalik between the two sugyos, the sugyo kedushin. They are the role of the father as far as his Ratzon is concerned, his Askama, because he in effect validates the kedushin that took place earlier that she did on her own. And the question is whether the same applies over here, I'm not sure. I'm just simply, by way of thinking out loud, so I'm just simply suggesting that one possibility is that the Shemir is part of the Maisa Afara, Mashenk, and the second possibility is that she took a neder, and in effect, it's nothing to do with him. The authority of the father or the husband, the hafer, is somehow not necessarily an integral part of this or not. Okay, I don't know. Honestly, I'm very troubled. I'm very torn by this issue. But another issue I want to raise, which is also a very important issue, and this is nogea also to this whole question that we've been talking about, and the Gemara does not resolve this question, by the way, that we just raised. However, the Rambam and the Ramban write la'alocha, there's no need b'shmiyas haneder. But then the Gemara has another shayla on daf ayin gimel and beis over here. This is also a very famous question. Take a look at ayin gimel and beis. This is one of the most famous questions that is, if there's no need to hear before al haneder, so now that means that, what about a cheresh? I have a Talmud over here in Eretz Yisrael who works for the Rabbanut, and he's in charge of charashim. That's his area. In terms of charashim, getting married, kiddushin, and getting, I'm talking about a cheresh, she'en shomei ve'en medaber. I think they call it in English, a deaf mute. So, en shomei ve'en medaber, what's their status al pi halacha? So here also, the Gemara Daf, and Gimel and Beis, raises this question. And the question really is related to a cheresh. Can he be made for nidre ishto? So why should there be a need for a to hear? If the shmiyah is not really required, so then perhaps, then we don't have to worry about it. So the Gemara actually here cites the famous Gemara in Sugya Menachos, and daf ayin gimel amud aleph. Boy, Rami Bachama, I'm sorry, I gave you the wrong daf. Ayin gimel amud aleph, I meant, not amud beis. Third line from the top. Rami Bachama, Cheresh ma'u she'yofa l'ishto. Can a cheresh be made for nidre ishto? Im timtzel omar bal made for below shmiya, vishun debar mishmahu. He's suddenly in the parsha. He's roi l'kach. He's roi to hear the nedarim physically. Obviously, he has an auditory system that's functioning, and therefore, in his case, certainly it's going to work. Abel cheresh l'la bar mishmahu. What then? Right, they're going to have to Gemara sites. By the way, the Gemara sites the Gemara Menachos. It's exactly the issue. Abu Cheresh la ba mishmahu hanu de Rab Zera. Now Rab Zera kaloi lebila. The Gemara says that ain bila makevus ba b'chol she'ain roi lebila bila makevus ba odilma b'shama isha lo ma'akev. So the Gemara mamash yes this kasha. Even though the kiyum is not ma'akev b'di'eved, again if potentially it won't be able to happen, then it's ma'akev. That's the klal of kaloi lebila ain bila makevus ba. So now, that's right, correct, right. The Lashon, even Lashon Gemara, is not dafka or lav dafka, the way we had earlier, 100%. That's a very important deal. The Karen Ares makes that deal. that you just medayik mechal between the two sugyas. But here also, again, we have to understand whether this is. When it comes to belila in menachas, we have psukim. And again, what I wanted to pose now is the question about the chatchila. Is this an inyan the chatchila? Is it a mitzvah and a muchar? This shmiya business again, or the question, of course, is it liikuva? The Gemara asked the kasha. Is it ma'akev? And as I said, blila by menachas, there you have psukim. That's the older shani called the psukim in the sugi menachas. And shmiya saned there certainly is not a mitzvah and a chatchila if there's no need for l'shem hafara. So why do we apply this principle of kol shenu l'bila? It could be that the Torah wants us actually that at least that the someone who does the act of hafara obviously has to be connected with that which is happening. He's connected with the people, connected with the house, etc. etc. I'm speaking very balabatish. A cheresh, he's completely disconnected. A cheresh has no nexus whatsoever to those around him. That's the issue that the Rabbanut faces all the time. He told me many, many years ago, Rabbi J. David Bleich, Rabbi Yehuda Bleich, Shashem Yarach Yom HaVishnoisa, he told me with the technology that we have today, there are no charoshim al pi alocha. What a statement. No charoshim al pi alocha. We have all types of, even cochlear implants that today have taken on a very significant role, and people actually are able to hear, and to hear apparently properly. And the fact that Gemara speaks about the Mishnayos and Gemara's Cheresh and Shmeh Ben Badaber is not.
There are many in the community of that who are against cochlear implants because they have a whole culture and they feel it's supplant.
What does that mean?
This is their shittes. There are many. I've read about this that they think that they think they have a certain culture and
I didn't understand what you said. They're against it. Why are they against it? Oh, okay. Otherwise their culture.
So it's better that they go ahead and they advocate for not letting them here.
Wow. I don't understand. Why would you not want to have access to technology in order to be able to lechora function in a more wholesome kind of way?
Is it pashut that if they
could be medaber, they're not having a cherish? It's not pashut, but I'm telling you what what he told me. He's a big mumche in areas of, he learned all the sugyas in Shulchan Aruch and also in the Chazal and the Gemaras. It's not pashut, because even those who have the ability to speak, it's not the same as, let's say, a healthy, normal, sentient human being. Sometimes they speak in with lisps and all types of. They don't really have a full command of the language in terms of, let's say, an average person who has that. But does that make him still a cheresh?
Rabbi Moshe Feinstein gave my uncle a aliyah when he was
in shul. Okay, so but he was a cheresh?
Cheresh.
Yeah, okay, so I've seen this also. I was confronted with this shaila many years ago in a shul. I was a rav, and literally a cheresh came, and he knew how to say the brachas, but he did not. How does he know how to say the brachas? If ena shomer v'ena medaber. So ena medaber means what?
Helen Keller.
Right, that's the best example. Helen Keller is a good example. So that's how he said the bracha. Akin to Helen Keller. What was that?
She was also blind.
That's right, she was blind as well. Okay, a blind person, that's how they achieve Mas Ben Yamin. He was a blind gadol. One day Dali Yisrael was a blind Mas Ben Yamin. Magad Avraham quotes him all the time. He took aliyahs. He was very makeup. But this cheresh came. Daber, you know what the daber was? His lips moved. What am I supposed to do with that? So I thought, in my innocence, that we would hear the bracha. I think we have to hear the bracha in order to answer amen. And he basically, the lips were moving. I think that's the lashon of the Gemara getting there. That, what does the Gemara say? When it mentions the sugya of cheresh, cheresh shayt v'kotten. Regarding the sugya of Gittin. But Vani, Elaine, how do they define that? That's sugya of Gittin. You probably know this. You're a Dafyemi person. I'm not holding Dafyemi. So, Eino Poseach P. I forgot the exact lashon of the Gemara. But there's a diuk, and Ramesh apparently has this diuk. He claims who says that it has to be expressed, articulated the way a healthy, normal human being would do it with his dibur. No. As long as there's a a kind of dibur. And the truth is, Rav Soloveitchik was also mekel.
A lot of healthy people don't speak properly also.
I'm not talking about speaking properly. If you're talking about speaking properly, then most of the world would not be eligible to have aliyahs. What does he say? Right. That's a Lashon Hama. That's right. Right. Correct. Okay. So, all right. But I'm saying that, so someone told me, Asvara, these are Asvaras. Beinish Leishto. That's not what a Cheresh is all about. He has no Beinish Leishto. Why not? So he told me because part of Beinish Leishto is the ability to communicate. That's probably the main part of Beinish Leishto. It's communication. I think I mentioned already many times, Rav Soloveitchik, he said that Sherek Susa Benosa Layigra. So we mentioned this about, I heard this also in the name of Moshe Shizgal, the son-in-law of Moshe Feinstein. I heard it from Balabas in St. Louis. So they both interpreted Sherek Susa Benosa. What does the word Ona mean? The Rav said, Aina, he asked someone in the Shir when I was there, he's Rosh Shiva today. He said, Aina, the Rav knows what Aina means. He was embarrassed to say conjugal relations, so he didn't say it. At that time, people still had some sense of busha. Anyway, whatever the case is, so Rav Soloveitchik said, no, you're wrong. That's not the Pshuta Shal Mikra. Say, well, what's the Pshuta Shal Mikra? Aina, spend time with your wife. Talk with her. Walk with her. Take her out to a restaurant. As he said, the Pshuta Sherek Susma Nasa, the Igra. The same Ramesh Shizgal, I heard his name, Balabas, also said the Pshat. So, conversation. Sicha, the Gemara says, I feel a sicha kala ben ish ishto. They're going to report him b'shas adin. Magid lo adam asecha, Gemara chagiga. I'm just saying that sicha is a very critical part of a relationship between husband and wife. I encounter in my rabbinic, quote-unquote, practice, if I can use such language, a husband does not talk to his wife. Why? He's very shy. He doesn't talk to anybody. But he doesn't even talk to his wife. So she came to me and said, are these grounds for divorce? Wow. So I didn't know what to do except to send him to 5 psychologists. Perhaps he can open them up. Then I have a few Talmidim who are basically full of buffoonery. I figure I'll send him to them and they'll cause him to stop laughing and I don't know what, maybe he'll emerge and react in such a fashion. I'm not a psychologist anyway, so I'm just indicating that is that grounds? Are those grounds for divorce? Husband doesn't talk to his wife? I said, what does that mean, doesn't talk to you? Pshuto kemashmo. What? When he comes to eat dinner together, he eats the dinner. Doesn't say a word. Thank you. Maybe. That's about it. Rabbi Asger, what do you say? Okay, I was going to talk about something else, but I guess I'll mention one more issue, which is the machlokes here between Rabbi Yosha and Rabbi Yonasan, Daf Ayin Beis. Gemara is a famous machlokes, Kidvi Meifa, Ide Shliach. Another famous, do we say Shul Shon Kameiso, as we say in Kalato Kula? Or no, here, Seben Aloche. Isha, Yikimenu, Vi Isha, Yifarenu. Dafka, we're makpid, that the Baal. What exactly is that issue over here? We know the famous Kseis, and this is discussed by the Tesis read, but Tesis HaChoshen, one of the few Tesis that I learned. I'm not into Tesis HaChoshen. I should be, maybe, I don't know. I'm trying to figure out Rashi. Anyway, Kupay Beis, Tesis, I saw this discussed in the Shlugas on Shlichos, namely, that why can't I point the Shliach to put on tefillin for me or sit in the Sukkah for me? And the answer, of course, is it's my hand that's to put on tefillin and my body has to sit in the Sukkah. It's a Mitzvah Sheva Gufo. And that's the question. This is a Mitzvah Sheva Gufo? Why? Okay, the Shmiya, okay, that's what I thought you were going to say. But the Gemara says, Isha, Yikimenu, Isha, Yifemenu, Dafka, has to be the husband. And the question, of course, is, why can, again, and even the other side, I mean, why is Hafaras Nadarim different than Gitmi Kedushin? What's the Hava mean? Okay, it says, Isha, Yikimenu, Isha, Yifemenu. I mean, that's the norm, because he's the one who's with you. So he's going to be the one who will make him the nether, be made for the nether. But why should we be different than Gidmik Dushin? What's the chiluk between Gidmik Dushin there? You can point the Shliach. He also can point the Shliach. Okay, so this needs, the Gemara has a whole discussion on Dafayin Gimel regarding two women, Vasachas. Okay, this is all no gear, but my time has run out, so we'll just leave it at that.
Coming back to, I finished the train of thought.
Yes, that took a while.
Yes.
Okay. Just before you ask it, yeah.
Keep going.
I don't know how to turn it over.